Thank you for joining us here. This is a really personal journey for you. All the work that you do has just layers of meaning. This is special because you're coming home. It's a Lakota playwright making a Lakota play with Lakota people. Tell me about the Lakota Project.
Yeah, the Lakota Project is the third in what's ended up being a trilogy of plays with Cornerstone Theater Company, whose home base is here in Los Angeles, but they work all over the country. And we started originally with the creating a play with the original people of the L.A. Basin, and then included in that a lot of other folks who were relocated here, because like many Lakota, Los Angeles was a big relocation area from the government in the 1950s. And then from there, we were invited to create a similar project using this Cornerstone and my combined process in Phoenix, Arizona, with the 22 tribes of Arizona. And that was a 2.5-year project that we just did this past spring called Native Nation. And then we were able to raise some funds and start the Lakota Project, which is for sure my dream project. I've been a playwright for quite a while, and I've always wanted to come home and create work at home, not just have my work done there, but create work with people where I'm from, which is South Dakota. And it really means a great deal to do this. So we'll be spending the next couple years talking to lots of people, Lakota people and other people. We're just starting with Lakota, and then we'll see where it grows to. And talking about what it means to be them today and what their experience is like and what kind of things they want people to know about them. And then together we create whatever it is they want to create. The last two pieces were large outdoor festivals that also had a play within it. It's really whatever the people want it to be. And that's what I'm excited about, to see how my people want to represent themselves.
How do you remain open artistically to, you know, to those ideas that you might have ideas of what might work, what you've done successfully, and this might take an entirely different direction that you have not been yet? How do you sort of prepare yourself for that openness and that listening that needs to happen?
Yeah, that's what's exciting about these pieces to me. I really have two halves of my career. One half is sort of the traditional playwright working in theaters, where I pretty much just get to do whatever I want, which is great and all kinds of good artistic things. But this is the part of my career, the other half, that I really love and has my heart, which is spending time with communities and asking them what they want. And really, Michael John Garces, my director and collaborator, and I, we just go in seeing how we can be of service. One thing that I think takes a little while for people to understand is that the whole process is the thing. I mean, ultimately, we do some kind of presentation or performance or festival or whatever it is. But the process of just bringing people together and telling their stories and witnessing stories and finding ways to be of service, which may be, for instance, we're going to be teaching theater classes at a Lakota youth camp next summer. Or last year in Arizona, we went and winterized elders' homes. And that was all part of the playmaking process, because that's what the people wanted and that's what they needed. And that's what we could provide a service and do as artists. And then while we were doing those things, we talk. And that talking is really the whole thing. But then ultimately, we put it together into some kind of presentation. And that's where my Michael John's voice as a theater maker and director come in to help shape the desires of the community into one kind of unified thing.
Tell me about the kinds of, in your experience, what kinds of questions get to the depth of, because these are people who have been asked many, many times, what do you need? What do you want? How can we be of service? This is different. How?
This is different than it is ultimately in art making, although it expands into so many things, food and eating together. And like I said, you know, helping elders, whatever it is people are looking for, it expands into whatever we're able to do within our capacity, which is fairly limited as artists. We don't, you know, we're not like movie people that are coming with tons of money or anything like that. We're definitely, you know, we're a nonprofit theater company. And so we don't have the same kind of resources that, say, film and TV people do when they come in. But that also means that we're used to working one-on-one on the ground with people. And we're used to really seeing each other as humans and communicating in that way, which, I don't know, it's just different. It's different when you're talking one person to one person. You're taking several years to make a project as opposed to just dropping in once or twice and thinking that you know what people want. The other key, though, in what we do is that we also give the community participants one, they perform the piece themselves, and two, they have veto power over the piece at any time. They're able to say, no, that isn't right, change it, because it's their piece. It's not mine. It's not Michael's. We're just the facilitators of what the community desires.
Let's bring Michael John Garces into the conversation. Hey, Michael, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
We're talking with Larissa here about this upcoming Lakota project in South Dakota. Tell us a little bit about how you two met, Michael, and how this collaboration has grown between you as artists.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, Larissa and I met numerous times over the years, I think. I became, you know, I saw her speak at a couple events, and I became interested in her work and got her to share some of her plays with me and got very excited about it. Really responded to her writing. And so when an opportunity came up with my company, we were able to commission Larissa to create a play for Cornerstone in our corner community engaged process. And Larissa and I had several conversations about it, and she seemed interested and excited, and she wound up writing a play that became, agreeing to a project that eventually became Urban Res, which was the first piece we created together here in Los Angeles a few years ago. And that was created in collaboration with community Native American folk here in the Los Angeles River Basin area. And we've continued to collaborate since then, and the Lakota Project will be our fourth project together, I think. Hmm.
Larissa, yep. Tell me a little bit about this notion of art being in service to people instead of the other way around. How has this historically been a problem for Lakota people, and how do you hope to sort of flip that narrative?
Absolutely. That's really been, I often equate the arts to the extraction industry, that the arts traditionally, whether it's film, theater, fine art, you know, television, whatever, performing or visual arts, have come in to Native people, specifically in this case, Lakota people, taken things, and then gone away and any further input or involvement of the people whose stories are being told. And that's really, it's like the oil industry, the coal industry, whatever. They just come in and take and go away. We're doing something very different. We're creating pieces by, with, for, and in the community. So what we create stays there with the Lakota people and is performed by the Lakota people. And it is done in wherever they want it to be done and in the way they want it to be done and whoever they want it to be done for. For instance, the piece we just did in the Arizona Native Nation, we had a reservation, the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, asked us to perform there. And they specifically wanted it to be an Indigenous-only performance. And so outsiders were not invited. And, you know, that's what they wanted, and so that's what we did. And it was really a beautiful experience. We ended up having, like, 500 Native people there, and it was really incredible. But the point is, we didn't just come in and say, here, tell us things, and now we're going to go do what we want to do with it. We said, here, you know, trust us with things that you want to express, and then tell us how you want to express it. And that's how we're trying to change the way that Indigenous stories are being told.
Michael, tell me about how you synthesize some of this, because it's an ongoing process and asking questions is not a one-time event. But when it's you and Larissa in the room and when you're sort of having those conversations, that it has to be overwhelming sometimes at the power of what's happening before you and then also with the responsibility that you now have. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. And yes, you're right. It can be overwhelming. And it's certainly that sense of responsibility is a very powerful thing that you carry with you. And it is daunting, but it's also also really exciting as an artist to have the privilege to be in a room with people to experience the things they wish to share with you, knowing that is something that you're going to synthesize into a project, into a play. We will engage in many, many conversations. And the notion is that the playwright then sort of, again, synthesizes all those conversations through her particular idiosyncratic way of working and perspective and creates something that hopefully reflects in a respectful and exciting way, the main themes and the many voices that we've had the privilege to experience. And then we will do a bunch of readings. We'll invite everybody we spoke to, everybody we came into contact with, and certainly open it to other folks as well to read the draft of the play, the first draft of the play that we have together. And we'll do various different readings in community, and people will have that opportunity to respond, to say this shouldn't be in there, this should, this is missing, I wish there was more of this, I really love this part. As we continue to craft the play, and we'll keep on working on that text, as well as working on how the text is then realized in production, right up until opening and even after opening, and folks will continue to give us input throughout that whole process. So it's very much a collaborative process.
Larissa, you mentioned really inhabiting two worlds your whole life, and one of the questions I want to ask you is whether theater is a sacred space.
Oh, no, it's not at all. I'm definitely not the person to ask about that. I think sacred spaces are sacred spaces, right? Between people are sacred spaces. And sometimes those things happen in theater, but it's not because of theater. It's because of the people that are in them and the trust that's placed in representing people's stories and people's dreams and ideas and fears and struggles. Like, those things are sacred. How we present them is 100 different ways. I mean, sacred is, my people in teepees on the prairie around fires telling stories. Like, that's sacred. All times that people come together and express themselves and share themselves is sacred. So, yes, theater can be a part of that, but it can also very often not be a part of that at all. I'm constantly fighting against, I think, the institution of theater in America, which has turned into a very restrictive, lots of rules, lots of restrictive culture around how you share that space that I find very oppressive and very actually anti my Lakota culture. We can't have, babies in the room. We can't have grandma there. We can't let people be late. We can't, do all these things that as Lakota people we do in community. And so I think, it's the sacred spaces are what's created one human to another, and that's that space between us and that sharing, which maybe is in theater, but more and more often I find it's actually not.
Hmm. Larissa, what happens when the play is over? What happens when what do you hope resonates?
I'm going to take a quick pause because I have a helicopter flying over. Michael, do you want to answer?
Well, our hope is that those stories and the experience of the play continues to resonate and incite conversation, and more importantly, incite possibility for people. Like, people might take the opportunity of that convening, of that particular experience of making art out of the stories and out of sharing that people will continue to and be inspired to continue a practice, a sort of aesthetic presentation and dialogue. I mean, that's really a hope. In any way that our company, small as we are, can provide support to that, provide resources to that, we will have a reunion. Where we'll come back together and with folks and sort of convene and talk about what the impact on individuals and what the possibilities might be as a group. Certainly, our casts, both from Urban Res in Los Angeles and from Native Nation and in Arizona, have maintained, I think particularly in Arizona, but also in LA, have maintained a quite vibrant sense of community with each other, have been doing activities. A band sort of came out of our project in Native Nation, and they actually performed before a game at the Arizona Diamondbacks game, which was really cool. And our cast came out in force with Native Nation t-shirts to see it. And so we hope to create a sense of community and a sense of potential in terms of creative process for people is a hope that I have, certainly.
What happens?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, I was going to say absolutely. I mean, I think, again, it's the one-to-one, right? I mean, I will say that, there's so many ways to be involved in these projects. One is in the creation process of those stories and talking and giving feedback to the scripts. Another one that is obviously in, coming and watching and experiencing whatever we end up putting on. But the third one that Michael is talking about is, being in the play, because everybody is invited, invite anyone to be in the play. You don't need any experience or whatever it is that we end up doing. And that ends up being a really special process. Michael creates an incredible room of trust that, people, it sounds like such a cliche, but people again and again say it's like, having a family that you spend, 6-8 weeks with. And it tends to create lifetime bonds and change even the course of people's lives. One of our professional actors that will be working with us on this play, Kenny Ramos, was a community actor in Urban Res and then was one of the professionals in Native Nation and will be with us again in this play, which is really exciting. It changed the whole course of his life to be involved.
Tell us what happens on this first trip here in Vermilion on December 10th.
Sure. Well, yeah, we get to Vermilion and we'll be there on the 10th, and we'll be meeting with students at the Native American Cultural Center from 11 to 2, and then we'll have a talking circle, a community gathering and dinner at the public library at 18th Church Street at 6 p.m. On the 10th. And then after that, we head out to Milk's Camp and Rosebud for a few days, and then we'll be in Pine Ridge.
All right. Where can people find more if they want to follow along and connect with you from these communities?
Sure. The best place to get more information is either to email us at info@cornerstonetheater.org, and that's theater with an E-R. So that's info@cornerstonetheater.org, or you can call our 1-800 number and we'll get back to you. It's 1-800-578-1335.
And we'll post this conversation online at listen.sdpb.org if people want to hear that information again. Larissa, your message to people that you want to reach out to participate in this process, what do you want to say to them if they're listening now? How will you invite them in?
I think the best thing to say is that this process is for you. You know, we're here to be of service and use whatever skills and talents we have and to create whatever it is people want to create. And I think, you know, we can't emphasize that enough. People always think that we're coming in really, they're like, well, what are you really trying to get to? Or what are you really trying to make? What is your goal? And we really come in with nothing. We come with no goal, except that, you know, we have some funding that in a couple years we'll do something together. And who knows what that is? It could really be anything. And I think just making people know that it's safe to come in and just check it out and explore, and together we'll figure out what we want it to be. You don't need to be an expert in anything except yourself.
Playwright Larissa Fasthorse and director Michael John Garces, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.